Joe Oryk's performance in the one-man show In My Corner has been called electric and magical. And you're going to get a chance to see that next Thursday as In My Corner opens the Pasadena Playhouse. And Joe is joining me on the phone right now. Joe, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being a part of the show.
Sure.
Joe, you've said that In My Corner is your reality. It's your truth. What do you remember very best that became that reality as you were growing up in New York?
Well, boxing was was kind of my father's religion. So the Gillette Friday night fights were very, very vivid, happening each Friday evening for the three boys and dad. So that's a pretty vivid scene in my head when I think about growing up in New York.
How did you first get interested with boxing? I have your information here that you started boxing at 16, but how did tap dancing come into your awareness?
Tap dancing? Oh, my gosh. You know, I think watching all those Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly and Nicholas Brothers movies when I was young and even an early adult, but after I quit boxing, I wanted to do something, and I didn't know what, and I had taken ballet classes for my footwork in the ring. My trainer told me to take some ballet, and secretly I fell in love with it. And being a Puerto Rican Italian boy, I used to dance, you know, all the time, just listening to my father's records, you know, Tito Puente and Eddie Palmieri, and different ones, Ray Barreto and all those. And I would dance with my sister, dance with my mother, relatives. But when I took the ballet classes, I loved it. But of course, I didn't tell anybody, and I kept boxing. But then when I quit fighting, I wanted to do something physical that would keep me in shape. And I saw Gregory Hines tap dance on TV one evening, and in my ignorance, I said to myself, well, I could do that. And sure, you know, 5 years later, I was dancing with Gregory. But it was a similar movement in the ring and in tap dancing. And I kind of, for some reason, I had an affinity for it, and I worked my tail off and fell in love with it. Just fell in love with it.
What did you learn from working with Gregory Hines that you now bring to the stage when you get on stage for In My Corner?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's so much to learn from Gregory. I mean, his musicship, his talent and his timing, the way he worked the crowd, and his fearlessness. I mean, he was a great performer. He was a great entertainer. And I think he was just a direct descendant of all those older hoofers that came before him. And tap dancing is very much, you know, handed down on whether it's in a dance studio or in a street corner. You know, you kind of watch the older masters do it, and you kind of pick and steal and then make it yours. And so with Gregory, I mean, I kind of really learned how to work a crowd watching him. I mean, he was kind of a champ in that way. He just knew how, because of his great way of dealing with music through his body and through his feet and, of course, singing. But he was a consummate performer. So I think just watching him all the time and being in the studio with him, I learned so much. And I think when you see the show, I think you might, you know, people kind of say, wow, that kind of reminds me of Gregory's style, or that very low to the ground kind of what people call hoofing. So I learned a lot from Gregory.
I'll be looking forward to seeing you on stage in that. How did you come to create In My Corner?
In My Corner came out of a really tough time in my life. I kept making the same mistakes and, of course, doing the same thing over and over, and just couldn't get out of this crazy little cycle that I was in. And I tried to make sense out of my life, and I decided to write a journal. And I didn't know what I was really writing. I just had to write and get this out, because I was quite an angry young man. And after, you know, writing this, I did feel better. It was cathartic, but I put it away. And then many years later, with my now lady, Lisbeth Hassey, who wrote it with me, I gave it to her as a journal, and I said, you know, I would love to do this play, and I think there's something here. And she turned it into a narrative, and we kept going back and forth when I was putting it on its feet, and it turned out into this, it became this In My Corner, and it was basically a story. Liz said to me, this is a story of your father and you. It's a father-son story. And that's what In My Corner is, and that's how it really came about. I was trying to make sense out of my life, and, you know, it wasn't really the best time in my life.
As we, the audience, sit in the theater, and the curtain goes up on In My Corner, what's going on stage? What do we see?
Oh, my gosh. Well, opening, when you come into the theater, right before we open the curtain, there's a live trio on stage. So you're hearing some great, great jazz music. Kind of a Latin jazz groove, but straight ahead jazz standards, and the guys are kicking. It's Matthew Clark on piano. He's the composer, a great pianist, and Chris Trujillo on the local Los Angeles. He's an amazing percussionist, and Jeff Dean is on upright bass, and these guys are just cooking. And then it goes to black lights. Curtain comes up, and my back's to the stage. I'm kind of in a silhouette, and all you hear is da 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 da. And as the light slowly comes up, and kind of in a silhouette, you see somebody's back and someone jump roping. And that's all you hear is the rhythm of a jump of a rope and 2 feet. And we build that to about 30 seconds, and it goes back out, and the play starts with young Joe in the Bronx on the street playing stickball.
Tell me about the journey that you take on stage as young Joe as you tell the story of what happened.
Oh, my goodness. Well, In My Corner is, it's quite a journey. It really is, not because it's my journey, but it's the way we tell it. Young Joe, you know, like I said, starts out playing stickball in the street, in the Bronx on the street, with his two buddies, and part of it's in Spanish, part of it's in English, and then his mother calls him from the tenement, you know, dinner's ready, supper's ready, and he doesn't want to come in, and he, you know, it's goes into, from that into the family's house, where it's, the whole scene is in Spanglish, and as he progresses, he becomes more, a little more violent, because he's in a fairly violent house. His dad is, likes to drink, and he's his way of controlling the children is through you know hitting them with a belt or with his hand or whatever he can get. And I show this young Joe shows it, and as he gets a little bit older, as an adolescent and a young and even as a, you know, 18, 19 year old teenager, he shows it through, for example, there's one part of the play where the father is one of these Gillette Friday night fights. It doesn't go with the father's way. His fighter loses, and he becomes drunk. And he tells Anna to get those kids down here now. Get them down here. And he grabs the belt. The belt in this case is a jump rope. And he starts hitting the ground. And all you hear is this one rhythm. Da, da, da. And he says to the big one, get over here, big one. Your guidance counselor called again, but as you continue hearing that rope, and then he adds his feet. He's in street shoes, but he starts adding some rhythms as he's telling the son, as he's starting to beat the son, and then the daughter comes. And Missy, your mother said that every time you leave the house, you hike up your skirt 6 inches. You want people to think you're a hussy? Is that what they teach you in catechism? But the belt has now become... It's become more intense, and the rhythms become more complex until the father's skipping, jumping rope, beating the kids with these tremendous rhythms. So as he's giving the dialogue, the rope is going, and the rhythms are becoming more complex. So it's multi-level skill set that we bring to this as the narrative moves forward. So you know, I mean, I another point, I hit a speed bag, and that's is what this punch, this little ball that the boxer uses to keep his timing. Well, I don't just hit the bag as I'm telling the story, but I play the bag with the ensemble. So I'm hitting a tuckata 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 tuckata. The bass goes then the drummer adds comes in. Then the pianist, and so the four of us, we trade eights with me creating. So it's a very rhythmic, physical, musical piece telling this father-son story, which I believe is unique. I mean, I've traveled around the world performing, and I don't know too many tap dancers who box, who sing, and who play the bag, or who just use... there's another part where I snap my fingers with a clave rhythm, play my right hand a cascada, add my feet, third rhythm, and I tell the story in another rhythm with my mouth. So this is what the journey that the audience will see, the boy, the mother, the father, and he also sings. But it all, it's not just to show, wow, look at this bravura performance. It's to tell this gut-wrenching, emotionally moving story. But, and we know that it's going to be entertaining, as Jeremiah Chechik, the director, says, we know it's going to entertain, but we want to move them. We want to grab them with the emotional content of the show. And incidentally, Jeremiah's, I don't know if you know Jeremiah Chechik, he's the director who directed the wonderful, beautiful movie named Benny and June with Johnny Depp. And,
oh, yeah.
And he's fabulous. He just came out with opened the Toronto Film Festival in August with The Right Kind of Wrong, and he did Diabolique, and the other big one that people might know is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So that's what you get when we come out and hit you with this multi-faceted, I don't know, play that kind of hits you with the rhythm, with the violence, with the beauty, with the poetry, with the song, and with the just all combined to tell this play in my quarter.
Joe, thank you for your time today.
You're quite welcome, Dot. Thank you.